If we remember, the last time Pluto was in Aquarius was when Uranus was discovered during that period, and it breached the known realms of our solar system. There's a comfort and a safety in what we know, even when we don't like it. And so before we can get to breaching the unknown, what we need to do is acknowledge the reality, the truth, Saturn in Pisces right now, as the old ruler or a traditional ruler of Aquarius, where this disillusionment around where we've outsourced our authority is now coming back to show us how deeply ingrained we are in this tribal need for safety and security above creativity, true authentic power, true relating. It's just a part of the human species. It just simply is. It's not a punishment. It's just part of the evolutionary circuitry that we all come in with. No matter what our individual tastes, karma, whatever, we are also deeply situated in our ancestral karma, in our cultural trauma, in our species-wide trauma. And so before we can, and by the way, Aquarius can also, in the evolutionary model, according to Jeffrey Wolf Green, can indicate, or Uranus, trauma, which is simply experiences that we've had that go beyond our known capacity of how we understand ourselves. So we've had to dissociate because we haven't been able to integrate. So in other words, there's a real, the deeper we go into healing these different layers of where we, as a unique whole on, as an individual, where we hold the whole holographic model of humanity within us, that to me is the Aquarian ideal. And an amazing component of the Aquarian consciousness is we are a singular unit of a collective.
Like cells in a body.
Yes.
Andrea and Michelle, welcome back to the podcast. It's so great to have you here.
It's always exciting and a pleasure to be here, Amanda. Thank you.
Well, this topic is certainly near and dear to my heart, and I cannot think of anyone better to explore it with. So thank you for doing this. Let's start here, because often when I hear people speaking about Pluto in Aquarius, and especially if the topic of community comes up, it can be very idealistic. Like very idealized of these, you know, these communities where everyone's together and working together and sharing their gifts and super happy. And so let's start with that. Is that real? Is that idealized and not realistic? And what is Pluto in Aquarius specifically bringing our awareness and attention to now?
This is such a good question. So Pluto, as a transpersonal planet, doesn't really care about our personal development. Pluto cares about whether or not we are focusing on egoic means of self-satisfaction over deepening into our dharma as an individual, which includes other and community. So taking a step back to Aquarius, to me, Aquarius is community, but it's specifically a community of individuated individuals coming together to co-create a society, self-responsible. So if we look at Capricorn, the previous sign, which is also ruled by Saturn, which is linearity, being responsible in a hierarchical way for the group, which has its own benefits and limitations. Then if we look at Saturn as a ruler of Aquarius, it becomes now a free society of individuals, self-regulated from the intelligence, Aquarius, Uranus, of their hearts. So if we were to look at our hearts at this as the central intelligence of our bodies, and I'll have more to say to that in a little bit, then Uranus or Aquarius is a community of people who are committed to discovering their creative purpose. So in other words, the Aquarius Leo axis is the axis of individuation. Leo is the sign that is the most subjective. Aquarius is the sign that is most objective. And where the two of them meet at the center in the heart is where we paradoxically know our purpose for the collective and the community, where we know our unique Aquarius mode of living with others that does not have to look the same as other people. In other words, Aquarian community to me is where we each have our uniquenesses that are not the same, but they're unique, and we are our shared values are that we're honoring and respecting our uniquenesses, and how can we bring those together to co-create and support one another in our community and in our creativity. So that's Aquarius there. Now, I alluded to Pluto a little bit already, but Pluto is the shadow. It shows us the underbelly of what we have not dealt with in order to get to that kind of beauty in how community can look. So before we can actually get to a true Aquarian ideal community, we have to address as humans where we have not wanted that in truth because it's too scary. Aquarius is also, it's freedom. Freedom from constraints. In our minds, we like that, but there's a part of us deeply situated in the tribal collective unconscious that is terrified to individuate, terrified to go out on our own. Because the very, very real basic need of survival, of feeling secure and safety, these are what we have to address inwardly in order to really understand why the Aquarian ideal hasn't come to pass so far. So it's getting underneath the hidden dimensions of why it's not working so far, or why, or what we need to look at in order to set up a true spontaneous community that's free from the constraints of our conditioned past, which can be Saturn in Capricorn in its lower vibration, you could say.
Okay, I for sure next, I mean, after this next question, let's go into what those shadow elements are. You know, what might be coming up for us to address within ourselves as individuals so that we can come together more as communities. Before we do that, you said something so interesting. I have never heard Aquarius equated to the heart, but that's because I was having these realizations as you were speaking. When we talk about intelligence, we usually attribute that to the mind. But what you brought in is the intelligence of the heart. Yeah. Because Aquarius, I hear Aquarius and intelligence all the time. But again, it's always like the intelligence of the mind.
Right.
But you just brought in something so different that is really interesting to explore. So can you tell us why you're saying the intelligence of the heart?
Great. Oh, I love this. This is my jam. So if we look at the square that the fixed signs make, right? We've got Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. So the first one in order would be Taurus, ruled by Venus. If we consider Venus as the representation of our feminine natures, women and men, of love, of our values, of our heart. That is the foundation, Taurus, of our relationship with other people and their values, and where our values and their values can merge, Scorpio, but also the Leo Aquarius axis, which is how our hearts form the creative intelligence through which we discover our own creative purpose, Leo, in service to communal creativity, Aquarius. So a lot of esoteric spiritual traditions consider the heart the seat of the soul. So with Aquarius being intelligence of the heart, intelligence, we have been limited to our definitions of intelligence and where we've sourced our intelligence from. So the brain, what a lot of neuroscientists are discovering, is more an antenna. There's nothing creative that comes from the brain. It comes from deeper down within us, the feminine forces of the gut, of the heart, and it informs the brain. But we are so valenced out here, which is more of a masculine thing, which has its place, but when it's not supported by the deeper intelligences, the other two intelligences of our triune brain, we are limited. So that's why I'm opening up Aquarius to being the intelligence of our heart, which is the centralizing force of here and our guts.
Wow. Okay. So you alluded to the fear that we have to individuate, and that individuation is an essential ingredient in our ability to make these, to co-create in community and to bring our gifts to the table to contribute to the good of the whole.
Yes.
Why are we afraid of this? What would Pluto be indicating as some of the more shadow elements of this individuation process? Like, why is that so scary for us humans?
Because Aquarius and Uranus, the modern ruler of Aquarius, is the unknown. If we remember, the last time Pluto was in Aquarius was when Uranus was discovered during that period. And it breached the known realms of our solar system. There's a comfort and a safety in what we know, even when we don't like it. And so before we can get to breaching the unknown, what we need to do is acknowledge the reality, the truth, Saturn in Pisces right now, as the old ruler or a traditional ruler of Aquarius, where this disillusionment around where we've outsourced our authority is now coming back to show us how deeply ingrained we are in this tribal need for safety and security above creativity, true authentic power, true relating. It's just a part of the human species. It just simply is. It's not a punishment. It's just part of the evolutionary circuitry that we all come in with. No matter what our individual tastes, karma, whatever, we are also deeply situated in our ancestral karma, in our cultural trauma, in our species-wide trauma. And so before we can, and by the way, Aquarius can also, in the evolutionary model, according to Jeffrey Wolf Green, so in other words, there's a real, the deeper we go into healing these different layers of where we, as a unique whole on, as an individual, where we hold the whole holographic model of humanity within us, that to me is the Aquarian ideal. And an amazing component of the Aquarian consciousness is we are a singular unit of a collective.
Like cells in a body.
Yes, and when we heal ourselves, and I want to make note of, so the decan that Pluto is in and will be until 2030, so Pluto will be in the first 10 degrees of Aquarius for 6 years. Mm. That decan in the Chaldean system is ruled by Venus.
Mm.
Venus is a relationship. So with Pluto in Aquarius is what is, and she's the planet of the feminine, which is our inner world. Before we have Libra, we have Taurus. We have to substantiate ourselves within our inner world and see where we each are holding, feel into where we're each holding this paradigm of fear, which is contributing to this polarization and projection onto other. That's how we empower Pluto ourselves to give to the collective. We have to take responsibility, in my estimation and in my work, for where these fears live in me, and that is opening up my gifts to other people. We have to be able to hold paradox somehow in here, that my purpose for other people starts with me, because that's the intelligence of the heart too, is paradoxically, the more I valence to my inner authority, my inner intelligence, the more I am directed to my gifts and what they are meant to, how they're meant to show up for others. And I need to be available to be wrong about what I thought my gifts were, what I thought my purpose was, to really get deeper into that in my body.
That's hard, because then we lose trust in ourselves. Like, I know for myself, when I've trusted an intuition, or I've trusted what felt like guidance, and then it's led me on a path that has felt very uncomfortable or very hard or very challenging, it then has made me more trepidatious about trusting that the next time.
Yes, that's a great example, because one of the things we've also got complacent with, which I think Uranus and Taurus is showing us collectively, is when we are trying to force security on everything, or safety, like a false safety that somehow life is supposed to be easeful.
Right.
That is setting us up for more suffering, because we consider that we're here to transform, we're here to change, it's going to be uncomfortable. You know, again, we talked a little bit about this with Chiron on the North Node. We have to be willing to be uncomfortable for growth to happen. This is where, you know, there's so much talk about a feminine resurgence. Well, if we really want to honor the feminine, we need to honor the mystery, which is what we cannot know. It's what we need to be humble to, Chiron, to gain access to a wisdom that can only self-rise from our open hearts. If we remember that Uranus, excuse me, was not only the son of Gaia, Earth, but also her husband. Human beings are the bedchamber of sky and earth. We are the reconciliation of God and goddess, the above and below in the human heart. Marriage of masculine and feminine. And so this is why I talk about the intelligence of the heart, which is the central, literally is in the center of our being. It is what draws and magnetizes the above and the below to come together in our individual being, and then individual in relationship to all, to honor.
Which is the Aquarian community that we're talking about. Okay, this is so brilliant. What I've noticed is that when, and I'll say, I've noticed this tendency in myself, I've noticed this tendency externalized in the world, that when we are uncomfortable and feeling out of control, like we can't control, when we're afraid of living in that mystery, when we're afraid of living in the unknown, even if the unknown might give us all the things that we think we want, right? That the tendency is to do anything and everything to control.
Yes.
So one of the things I've noticed in attempts to create community is there's this, okay, well, we're going to create even quote-unquote conscious community, but everyone needs to think like this.
Exactly.
Everyone needs to eat like this. Everyone needs to pray like this. Everyone needs to live like this. And like this is, you know, fill in the blank. But it's the same.
Yes.
Because it's too uncomfortable, and it's too challenging, and it's too disruptive to try and harmonize or integrate with anybody that's not this. And so what I've noticed is that it becomes sort of like a shell of the potential. Like there's aspects of it that are great, I'm sure. I haven't been in any of these communities at this point, but there's probably some aspects of it that are amazing because you have support and you're co-creating and you're creating something together, which is beautiful. And yet it's still very exclusionary.
Yes.
And it only works if everybody stays that way. Because what if you change your mind?
That sounds more like a cult, to be honest with you.
Oh, yes. That's true. But I don't think the ones I'm thinking of, because I've been, you know, there's a lot of people that move to Hawaii with a vision of community. Yeah. And there are a lot of attempts towards creating it. And like I mentioned in the beginning and in my intro, I was quite disillusioned in witnessing the disillusion of so many of these, you know, quote unquote conscious communities. And it left me wondering, like, why don't these work? Like what, you know, there's a sincere intention and desire to come together as humans and live together and take care of the land and take care of the children and be together. And yet I would hear one after the other not working for one after the other reason. And so it was like, oh, okay, well, there's something not quite right, because I can't conclude from this that we're just meant to live in our little boxes isolated and alone. That can't be the conclusion.
Exactly. It's because people's shadows are eventually going to come up. And if we don't attend to lovingly the fact that we are all immersed in the shadow, we all are, then that's going to keep coming up. I mean, how many times do you hear about spiritual leaders acting inappropriately? People who have some true measure of realization, but they're having affairs with their followers, or, you know, their tyrants behind the scenes or something. Why is that? Because they haven't addressed the shadow. They have only become awakened from here up, from the neck up. They're missing and not addressing the body. Uranus and Taurus is saying, hey, we need to wake up from the body, include all of us, every single part of us, even the messy, stinky stuff that we don't want to see. That's how we truly contribute. That's where we're getting honest around, wow, all this living in my head and ideals does not produce a tangible reality until or unless I'm addressing my full being, the holistic part of my being. And being born as a human being means I'm in the mud too. That's the image of a lotus coming from the mud. The lotus cannot sprout until it's come through the richness of the soil of composting the shadow. And there are communities out there working, doing this kind of work.
Yes. Why do you think that attempts at community often go down the path of sameness? Mm-hmm. So instead of individual expressing to contribute, it's an attempt to make everyone in an attempt towards equality. There is a proclivity towards same.
Right.
What is that shadow?
Tribalism.
Mm.
There is a basic, fundamental, biological fear of being separate from the herd, separate from community. It lives within us as an actual cellular reality. When I say reality, I mean it isn't true in the ultimate sense of truth, but from the human perspective and our biology, our bodies believe it to be true on some level of our limbic, of our mammalian brain, that to individuate is to leave the safety of the known. Even if I hate it, even if I don't like it, at least I know I'll be fed. I'll have clothes. Some people will like me, whatever. And some people's safety is to make sure no one likes them. It doesn't make sense. But we have a biological need to be recognized by other and the community specifically. So it really takes courage to follow my heart's desire, my own values, even if they're contrary, especially if they're contrary to what I've been taught or what sounds and seems like a good thing, but within me, it just doesn't feel right. How many times do we sacrifice what our bodies are telling us to what we idealize is true, or what other people that we might admire and respect tell us is true? This is what we don't trust, Amanda. We don't trust that we're in a learning process here in humanity. Again, we're in a transitional state. Maybe the transitional state is unlearning, to learn through unlearning, to recognize what I'm not in order to discover what I am. And I'm not saying this to scare anybody, but it's this knowing that we're all in this place of maybe unraveling rather than building right now, because that's what Pluto is. It's deconstructing our idealism around what Aquarius is and really get in the mud and try it. Form communities, risk getting it wrong, risk getting angry with people, risk being honest about what's going on for each other and not have everybody have to be the same. This is Aries, you know, the dragon year, Aries North Node, just giving it a shot. Risk being uncomfortable. Chiron, risk recognizing that we are all in a transitional space. And the more we have courage to just go for it with love first, there's nothing. We are actually working toward our evolutionary empowerment, whether it succeeds or not on paper.
Every day, people turn to astrology for deeper self-understanding and growth. But the overwhelming complexity leaves many lost and confused. That's why we created Astrology Hub's Inner Circle over 7 years ago. It's the go-to place for curious minds and devoted students. Every month, we align our astrological learning with the natural rhythm of the lunar cycle, using awareness, intention, and aligned action to systematically grow in our astrological fluency and transform our lives in the process. And no matter where you're at in your astrological journey, we have a place for you to land. When you join us during this promotional period, you'll be able to choose from two tiers of membership. Inner Circle Grow is for the astrology lover who wants bite-sized, seamlessly integrated daily wisdom. And Inner Circle Expand gets everything Grow members receive, but is also designed for the astrology student who wants to learn the astrological language directly from the masters themselves. Now, through April 9th, you can join either level for the lowest prices we ever offer. Lock in Tier 1 of membership, Grow, for the founding member price of $17 a month, or get 45% off our flagship membership tier, Expand. By joining during this promotional period, you'll lock in these low prices for as long as you remain a member. Whether you're new to astrology or a seasoned student, whether you have tons of time to invest or just want the information in quick ways, the Inner Circle meets you where you are and gives you the consistency you need to leverage astrology's gifts to up-level your life. Join a global community united under the same sky at astrologyhub.com/innercircle24. Align with the cosmos and transform your life in the process, moon cycle after moon cycle. Join our inner circle today.
Yes. Okay. One more thing. Yeah. Pluto is associated with power too, right? Yeah. So you mentioned earlier, you alluded to this, you know, the sort of corrupt leader of the said community. And where does that come in? Because the other thing, the other fear, well, in addition to us being afraid to individuate because of the tribalism and that being deeply ingrained, is that in these communities where sameness is sort of cultivated, there's a leader or leaders. And often that's then this, you know, so everybody else is the same, but the leaders stand apart. And usually, I'm not going to say 100% because I don't know for a fact, but usually they're abusing that power.
Yes. Very good. Yes. So Pluto in Aquarius can be the rise of more cults. more community. So there's two ways of we can, or, and it all depends on where we're orienting from and how honest we want to be within ourselves. You're bringing up an excellent point. Pluto in Aquarius can bring in more cults of people who have the charisma, Leo opposition, to bring people together under the guise of certain tenets or aspirations or futuristic vision of what the community can be. But it's really about maintaining control and power. On the other hand, depending on how honest we want to be, how human we want to be in our honest assessment of where we are at as a species and where I'm at in my own personal development, we could be motivated to come and or to be drawn into communities that are doing their deep shadow work. Communities that are coming together for an honest, loving assessment. The way showers, the shamans, the tantrics, who are willing to be uncomfortable, who are willing to forge new territory. Chiron with the North Node in Aries. It might not be exact anymore, but Chiron is still in Aries and the North Node is still in Aries. Communities that are coming together to relate honestly with each other, not perfectly, honestly. Because honesty is the language of the heart, truth. And where can we just love, allow love to guide us and bring together where intelligence lies inherently in us as beings?
Gosh, I've been fascinated by communities where I have heard they are doing that. And where the, you know, the people within the community, that is exactly what it seems to boil down to, what you just said, that they're willing to be together honestly, that it is not perfect, but in that honesty and imperfection is where the beauty is. Yeah. Is where the creativity is where more love is cultivated and allowed to come through. So I love everything that you're saying. So we are welcoming you back, Andrea Michelle, as an inner circle astrologer for Sagittarius season this year.
Right. Thank you. Okay. So here we have for the lunation, which takes place at 9 Sagittarius on November 30th. This is the new moon. So this is the sun, obviously on the ecliptic, and here's the moon. Right behind the moon is the royal fixed star Antares, which is the heart of the scorpion. The heart of the scorpion is a deeply transmutative energy, very similar to Pluto. The fact that the moon is occulting Antares and not up here in the, you know, for the new moon, or here or down here, is super powerful, because an occultation is like a conjunction on steroids. The moon is being highly influenced by the potency and power of Antares, which is, again, one of the royal stars. So the ancients believed that there were four pillars holding up the sky, one of which was Antares, which also means anti-Aries. So in the chart, which I'm not going to show here, I just took a sneak peek at it, the ruler of the moon, Jupiter, will be in Gemini. Its ruler, Mercury, will be in Sagittarius. So Jupiter and Mercury are going to be in mutual reception and in opposition to each other. So immediately the image that came to me was it's called the corpus callosum, which is the part of the brain that bridges left and right hemispheres. So I'm going to stop sharing here for a second and just refer to my notes so that I get this. So, and also this new moon is going to be squaring Saturn in Pisces, right? The traditional ruler of Aquarius, where Pluto is in. So the main role of the corpus callosum is to serve as a conduit allowing information to transmit from one side of the brain to the other. So with the moon and sun on anti-Aries, we are being asked at this new moon to commit to the inward journey of getting to the heart of where we are being polarized by right, wrong, because we're still having the nodal axis in Aries and Libra and inner laws and rules where we are restricting ourselves in our belief structures, where we are still really submerged in this tribalism, this safety before creativity, to become empowered to be sourced from within, remembering that this first decan, the first 10 degrees of Aquarius, is ruled by Venus, planet of femininity, the inner world, of finding relationships. So it's all about the seeking, Sagittarius, through the inner realms, finding the inner realms to be as fascinating as anything outwardly that we could go and have a pilgrimage to. We are finding the pilgrimage within. This is where we can do this with others as well. We can find community, Aquarius, to do this. And this is something that, again, I'm going to be offering more toward the end of this year, what I'm calling alone together. And I've mentioned that before, how we're all called to do our individual work, but we don't have to do it by ourselves. We can do it with other people. So becoming self-responsible with other people who are also working toward more self-responsibility. Mm. That is community for me in the Aquarian age right now. Mm.
Well, Inner Circle members, we get to look forward to Andrea Michelle's wise guidance in this cultivation of aloneness together when we have that Sagittarius lunar cycle. So we have that to look forward to, which is brilliant. Do you know what mastery class you're going to teach them?
Yes, retrogrades, the three inner planet retrogrades. About, I can't remember the wording, but it's basically the opportunities of the retrogrades of the inner planets, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, from a different perspective than we normally orient to retrogrades, and how they can work to empower us more for our personal, interpersonal journeys to reorienting to getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
So good. Tell us about some of the resources that are available to us. I mean, I know for one, you offer readings and you offer our community a 10% discount on readings. So if you're interested, right? Is that true?
No.
Nope. Okay. That's not true.
Sorry. But,
Wait. So you're not doing the discounts. Okay. So hold on. Let me just say it again then.
Yeah.
One of the resources that I know that is available to our community is readings with you, Andrea Michelle, and that they can find you through astrologyhub.com/connect if they're interested in booking readings. And we always hear rave reviews from people about their readings with you. So thank you for offering that to our community. And isn't that the whole ideal of the Aquarian community, that by being who we are, by being in our gifts, by being in our heart, by being in the truth of who we are contributing just by our beingness,
yes,
to the whole, to the community. I'm not saying there's no action that needs to be taken, of course. Right. Yes, but it is in that place of truth within ourselves. And it sounds to me, with this beginning decan time period of Pluto and Aquarius, because we're in Pluto and Aquarius until like 2044, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're in it to win it. So yeah, right. It sounds like this beginning phase, this kind of individual work is the most important thing we could be doing, so that we can have clear and solid foundations through which to actually build these communities. And there's a dream of community, I think, within pretty much everyone I know. There's like somewhere in us that we want this, and yet we don't quite know how to do it yet. And that's okay. Like you said, there's the imperfection, and that's totally okay. It's where we're at. Yeah. Just being willing to go for it is kind of the point right now.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. This has been such a pleasure as always. If you would like to work more with Andrea and Michelle, make sure you go to astrologyhub.com/connect. Make sure you sign up for the Inner Circle, because now is the time where you can lock in that promotional pricing so that even when Andrea Michelle comes around as our teacher in November, you're in the inner circle. You're in at the best promotional pricing that we ever offer. That is available through April 11th. April 11th. So you can have access to that great promotional pricing through. And that is for Inner Circle Expand. So Inner Circle Expand is the level, the tier of our membership where you work with a different astrologer each month. The first tier, Inner Circle Grow, is where you get distilled versions of the teaching. So me and my team, we take what the astrologers are teaching and we distill it into real bite-sized, very easy to understand, light on the astrological language, and in little nuggets for you. But if you love immersing yourself with the astrologers and really learning directly from the source, then Expand is the right tier for you. So go check them out, astrologyhub.com/innercircle24. And is there anything else you want to leave us with, Andrea Michelle?
I don't know why this is coming right now, but Regulus in Virgo. Regulus at zero Virgo. Humility will take us all the way. Regulus is another one of the royal stars. And the entry of Regulus into Virgo back in 2011, the power of our heart's humility is the agent of true creative power as a human being. And one of the beautiful things about Aquarius and the greatest paradoxes about Aquarius is Aquarians, people with strong Aquarius, love the idea of humanity, but don't particularly care for humans. And so the greatest gift that someone with very strong Aquarius, which we're all discovering our Aquarian tendencies with Pluto and Aquarius, is to humble ourselves to be simply human and allow the gifts of Aquarius and our strong desire, Pluto, to come to community more with more honesty with where we're at, be the gift through which our heart's love, our purpose, our true relational capacity can emerge.
Love it. Thank you so much. Thanks all of you for being here with us. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on community and the ingredients for the community and all your ideas around that as well. So please leave those in the comments if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, and you can leave comments in the comment section there. And thank you so much for being a part of our community, our Astrology Hub community. I'm so grateful that you're here. Thank you for making astrology a part of your life. We will look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Take care, everyone, and we'll see you soon.
This podcast is presented by Astrology Hub. You can learn more and find all of our shows at astrologyhub.com/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes and help more people find the wisdom of astrology. Thank you for taking the time to do this now. Thank you for being a part of our community and for making astrology a part of your life.